Very thankful for that timely song. Very thankful that God's timing is always His time. Regardless of what happens in life, that we have a Savior, we have a God, and we have a heaven that we look forward to. And, you know, we have His Word. And, what we've been going through the book of Jude, we're looking at apostasy. We're looking at the end times. Let me encourage everybody here. Again, it's not how you start the race. It's how you finish it. Keep on keeping on. Keep the good fight of your faith going, regardless of what happens. As we're looking at Jude here, we've looked at, of course, the how to contend for the faith. It has the idea to agonize over, to struggle with intense determination that by the grace of God and by faith, I will continue to believe in my Savior because He's the only way, truth, and life. And then we looked at last week, what is an apostate? It's somebody who was originally with us, but now they're no longer with us. It's because they've walked away from the faith. And we've had others that are in the hall fame of faith. Hebrews chapter 11, those who preceded before us, those who set the examples, who have lived for God and believed and died believing in God. And so, and today we're looking at defense against apostasy. Well, how does it start? Where does it begin? Remember, there was a man named Adolf Hitler many years ago. We called him the Fuhrer, the Father. And they believed that, you know, that he would bring Germany up and bring Germany the great power again since World War I. And, you know, you ask yourself, how in the world could this man come to power? Not only that, well, then how could so many people follow him? And yet there was during the Nuremberg trial, there was a man called Adolf Eichmann who came up with the idea of taking the Jews and lie to them continually and saying, well, you know, and these Jewish suburbs, we're going to put up barbed wire fences and we're going to meet the Jewish leaders and we're going to tell them without bringing guns with us, without threatening them, that this is for your own protection, all this. And so the Jews actually believed this. And they said, you know what, the Russians are coming, so we want to protect you from the Russians. This is what they told them in our history books. And so there was that happening, and then there was the roundup of the Jews. They told them, well, you know, we're taking you to another safer place. They were able to put them about 100 people into cattle cars, and they were telling them that, well, we want to put this under disguise so that, you know, we want to make sure nobody knows. You know, the Russians are coming after you. And again, it was a repeated lie. And so you had this going on, and there was actually 1,100 concentration camps set up around Germany and Poland, around Europe. And so the lie continued on, even with as later on as you had churches that were along the railroad tracks used to sing up louder, because they used to hear the cries of people. They used to hear rumors of what was going to go on in these concentration camps after the word got out. Actually, there were Christian churches. And what happened to these churches? They became apostate. They became state churches where these leaders were, and you still have that to today in some countries, that they have sold themselves to the state. And so you have people have sold their souls to churches. And it's unfortunate. But as the story went on, you had all kinds of people, and they had different stars. They had different stars. They had yellow for Jews, brown for Gypsies, purple for Jehovah's Witnesses. They had Catholics would wear black, and also lacking documentation. You had blue stars for those who knew from one country to another. You had red stars for politicians or conformists. You had pink stars for homosexuals, green for murderers and thieves. They just bunched them all together. They didn't care because they had an agenda. Our country today, we just pray for our country because I'm so glad that we have new leadership. And some people may agree or disagree with that. I'm not here to talk about politics. I'm just saying that this whole woke agenda, we're getting away from that. I'm very thankful for that because it has destroyed a lot of people's lives, have lied to people, this whole thing going on. So with that being said, the worst and most damaging part about an apostate and the defense thereof is that apostasy has come into churches. Today we have a lot of big churches today, but I've gone online, I've done my research, even with a lot of popular songs. If you look into their doctrine, half these songs are not biblical. They believe in, you know, some artists believe in homosexuality and on and on. Did a research paper on that in the last church I was with my wife. It's just amazing, you know, what people are getting away with and have no accountability. But I tell you what, one day we all are going to stand before the Lord. God loves us. And so you have today the big churches, and it's hard to find, and I mean this, to find a doctrinal statement because they don't want to tell you what they basically believe in. Oh, we'll tell you a little bit, but not everything, because we want everybody coming to our church. If that was the case here at Grace Bible Church, walls would have been knocked out. We would have had a huge church here up on the hill many years ago. If there weren't for certain leaders, certain men saying, no, we're not going to do this. We're not going to compromise. You know, and please, I'm not saying all big churches are bad. I'm not saying that, but please, if somebody ends up going to a big church, please ask them about the doctrinal statement. And what a lot of them will tell you is that really, you know, we believe in the basics, but not everything, you know. And so, and there are people there that go there, they get lost in these churches because they can't make up their mind, one and two. They don't believe what we believe in today, which is the Word of God. Okay? I'm not putting down any preachers or whatever. I don't do that. I let God judge them. I'm here to love and point people to Jesus Christ and to shepherd the sheep and to guard the sheep and to love people as Christ loved his church and try to be an example. So we're continuing here because we had to cut it short last week because of time. But continuing here in verses 14 and 15, as we look at the quote now that is saying with, now, Enoch, the seventh from Adam who prophesies. Now, Enoch, apparently, from Genesis chapter 5, verse 24, says, by Enoch, the man who walked with God, and he was not because God took him. So, Enoch was a man that loved the Lord. And I pray that today we're walking with God. Every day, we're walking with the Lord. And God had a purpose for taking him home. But one day I'm sure we'll all ask Enoch, you know, what was it like? Talk to me, Enoch. I want some grace. And I'm praying that God will use this as words of grace this week to the hearers to be a blessing from them. It goes on to say here that now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men, saying about the apostates, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints. He's talking about here, in the prophecy coming in Revelation 19:14, when we come back with the Lord at the end of the tribulation period, and God judges the earth. And it says here, to execute judgment to all, to convict all, it's kind of interesting that word convict has the idea of convince all who were ungodly amongst them with all their ungodly deeds. Now, let me stop there for a minute. When those ungodly ones stand before God, God will convict them one day before the great white throne judgment. You have the Bema Seat of Christ. You have those who accepted Christ, and then you have those who did not. And that word convict means to, with the ungodly sinners, those to convince, God will play back. Look, if we had a big screen here, and this is what I'm conjuring up in my mind, okay, is that God will play back your life. And he will stand, the ungodly person will stand before God and say, oh God, that wasn't true. Of course I want to go to heaven. Anybody would want to go to heaven. I want to go to hell. Are you kidding me? And of course that's separation from God, separation from his creation, separation from your body. All those desires, you want to eat, drink, sleep, all that. You can't do that in hell. You won't even have a name in hell with the poor man and the rich man and Lazarus. Remember that story? So what happens is that to convince all, in other words, that God will play back a person's life and that person will see, oh yeah, I reject God. Are you kidding me? I'm not going to church. I can't go to church. I don't believe in all that. I met somebody the other day witnessing and they said, you know what? I don't like what this president's doing. Okay, not everybody here agrees always 100% what a president does, but he goes, I'm going to move to Canada. He goes, I'm going to move to Eastern Europe, like some of the movie stars did. But it's the words that come out of your mouth that God's going to judge you on. And some people are like, I want to get away as far away from God as possible. Get away from it. I've met people on the streets, people I've talked to, and you have too. Have nothing to do with God, but this verse says it all. Without excuse, because you said it, you believed it, you had a chance to repent, and you never repented, and you never came to Christ. So it says here, to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have committed in all their ungodly way, of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Who's that? The Lord Jesus Christ. He's referring to the book of Enoch, chapter 1, verse 9. I have a copy of the Apocrypha at home. The Apocrypha was written 400 years between the Old and New Testament. And what happened was is that the book of Enoch is not an inspired book of the scriptures. It's a historical book. The Jews looked at it very seriously. Paul had quoted from poets on Mars Hill. He quoted from philosophers as well. So, but Jude is picking this up, and you know, there is no contradiction in the scriptures. Today, if you're online, open yourself up to the Lord and see that he is good today. And believe in God's word. So Jude is using this context here to make a point. And he goes on to say here that these are grumblers. Verse 16, these are inside gossips. These are people. And these are complainers. A complainer is an outside blamers. So you got them from the inside and the outside. Those people that just, you can't really have them put their finger on it. They just like, no, I don't know. I don't know all the time. They never make up their mind. Either you get on, you get off. One of the two. So there's grumblers, complainers walking according to their own lust. And their great swelling words and flattering people to gain advantage. So they're flatterers. They will tell you anything that you want to know. It's like somebody going to the psychiatrist and saying, oh, I got a problem. I need help. And yet they're not telling the psychiatrist exactly what he needs to know so the psychiatrist can help. And I'll put it in better, clearer terms with the Lord Jesus Christ. Christians, we need to come to the Lord and say, Lord, I got some issues and I got to get this right. And I need to get things straight with you because this path is becoming real tempting lately, becoming very broad. We have issues today with doctrine. We have issues today with sin and on down the road. And people having problems and some people suffering. They know that not too long down the road they're going to face death. Well, how do you face that? You ask God, and I tell people this all the time, you ask God for grace. Ask God for grace to go through that time of death of anybody who's near it, who's been through it. And, you know, we have to take it seriously. Remember, the Lord Jesus Christ hated death. He's going to throw death into the lake of fire. Amen. It's the very last thing he throws in hell is called death. He never had it in plan, but he's sovereign. He knew about it because of sin. For the wages of sin is what is death. And we are all going to have to face that unless the Lord comes back, his rapture, when he's coming back. He can come back now. So we pray that we're prepared. And I hope and I pray today each one of us are continuing to fight for our faith, contending for our faith, because there's a lot of lies and there's a lot of sneakiness going around. The devil wants to do everything he can to destroy this group of believers. He hates his church because it knows that it stands through the fiery trials. It still stands over the years. Amen. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken by the apostles in our Lord Jesus Christ. It says how they were told that there would be mockers in the last time who walk according to their own ungodly lust. In other words, what is a mocker? Okay, so people today won't come out and say, "Oh, I heard you're a Christian," and start ridiculing you, undermining you, being vicious, trying to intimidate you, to leave you without a hope of and deriding your faith. Okay, you share Jesus Christ. You know, we're all called to be evangelists. We're all called to go out in the world. You know, every one of us. And it starts with our testimony and our relationship with Jesus Christ. I'd rather have the Spirit of God work in me any day, 24/7 throughout the week, than having just me being there. Okay? Because I'm just like anybody else. Right? So you want the Holy Spirit working through you. And you want to evangelize. Now, we see here that also that there are those who will mock us. And in the last days, as we see this, 1 Peter 1:20, these last times, 2 Peter 3:3, in the last days, Hebrews 1:2, these last days, 1 John 2:18, the last time. That's talking about to the time of Christ's death, to the time of the rapture, in these last times we live in. And the scripture is very expounded. And when it's telling us to get us our attention, it repeats itself. So God wants us to get our attention, that we stay strong in the power of his might and not lean into our own understanding, but trust the Lord. One person said here that, you know, I like my Bible nice and strong, like a good cup of tea. I like my tea strong. I like my coffee strong, don't you? We like it nice and strong. And there's some people here who make very nice coffee. I've been able to be blessed. And it's very good. And, you know, as long as you don't drink too much, right? But it's good because God wants us to be strong in him. God does not want us to have a weak cup of tea or coffee, so to speak, because this doesn't taste right. You know, God wants us to get serious with his word. I like what one man said. He said here, the Bible is so deep that theologians can never touch the bottom, yet so shallow babes cannot drown. And then also, God doesn't tell us everything because we would be prideful. He loves us enough to save us, to save anyone. And so God's word is deep enough that you can never find everything out about him because he's so deep, and he's so sovereign that he doesn't want us to be built up with pride, but at the same time he makes things shallow enough so that even anybody can come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the world, with an apostate, wants to make things difficult, wants things to come their ways by works, not by grace, through faith. And so the Bible warns about this too. It says here in 2 Corinthians 11:13-15, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing that the ministers also are transformed into the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." What they tell you is all good news at first. And this is how I've run into cults, run into works-only salvation people, is that they tell you all a good story. It looks good on the outside, okay? But when it comes down to doctrine and the truth, they start telling you a different story. They start lying about it. You just take, for example, Jehovah's Witnesses. And there's all kinds of examples about apostates. But do you realize that most people who joined the Jehovah's Witness Church were Christians at one time, and they walked away? They weren't, I don't think they were ever saved. I think they were part of something. Like, apostasy means that you're part of something and you walked away from it. Well, apparently these people, for the most part, are, that I talked to, a lot of them came from good Bible believing churches, and yet they believe in that continual revelation. They don't believe that Jesus was the Christ. They believe that he was created by God. And so they also have a different Bible. Do you ever have to sit down and witness to somebody? Remember, it's the Word of God that transformed you. The best translation is that transforms you. It doesn't matter what version, and yes, it does matter what version it is, because there's some versions that are watered down. They're not that strong cup of coffee. Like, it's not that strong Word of God. So, you know, there are good translations out there, but Jehovah's Witnesses have a different translation. Stay away from them if you don't know how to witness to them. My best bet is I'll just sit there, listen what they say, give them 10 minutes, and I'll look at them. I said, before they say anything, I say, "You give me 10 minutes. It's like somebody calls you on the telephone. Oh, I'll be happy to talk to you. Give me 10 minutes, right? And then you're going to give me 10 minutes to tell you about Jesus." Hear a click real fast on the telephone. You know, they don't want to listen to the gospel. But Jehovah's Witnesses are saying, like, "Oh, we need to get Elder so-and-so over here." I said, "Sure, bring it on. You know, I don't care. You know, I'll share them Jesus Christ. I'm not listening to the word they're saying. They're talking at 10 minutes. Don't listen to what they're saying." And for those who are young in the faith, don't even try. Don't even give them Godspeed when they come knocking at your door. Okay? And so, moving on here. So, verse 19. All right, "There will be mockers in the last time. We walk according to our own godly lust." Verse 19, "These sensual persons cause divisions, not having the Spirit." So we're dealing with trends in theology today. These people will come in. They will cause problems in the church that are not biblical. We're looking at yesterday's liberalism in the 1890s. Remember our Ivy League colleges, they started giving in, they're compromising with the Word of God. And that goes everywhere with churches, universities as well, Bible studies. People start compromising. "Well, you know, yeah, I think it's okay." Really? Okay, get away from those studies. Don't have nothing to do with them. All right. Of course, there's the action and reaction of today from Scripture to an individual interpretation. Like I said, the best interpretation is seeing your transformed life. What's it doing? Stay away from the watered down versions. Stay true to the good versions of the Word of God. And then also there's the progressive Christian movement, which is saying that you know, it's okay to put women behind pulpits. Like I said, women can teach other women. Women have an exclusive, it's very important ministry here in churches. But then, you know, then you have the gays coming in. And God hates sin, but he loves the sinner, you know. I don't believe that they should be behind the pulpit. It should be a man of God should be behind the pulpit. And if somebody has said to me, well, I don't believe that, well, I'll just go to the scripture. It says that in quite a few parts there, too. And then there's other areas here where we see that there's trends in theology. There are many of them. But I like what Martin Luther said from the Lutheran movement. He hit the nail right on the head. He said this many years ago, over 500 years ago. He says, a teacher who keeps silent on errors and wishes still to be known as the orthodox teacher is worse than a manifest fanatic and does more change with his dissembling than a heretic and is not to be trusted. He is a wolf and a fox, a hireling and a belly server. So for those who want to be quiet, to never say anything, oh, I want to stroke everybody, make them laugh, make them ooh and ah, you know, let's all get along, bring your brothers and sisters in too. And you know, let's just try to get along. Why there are very few small churches like this today? Because there's very few people. I'm not saying that all big churches are like this, but we're losing more and more churches today who believe in the fundamental word of truth. Support our church. And it says, Martin Luther said also this here about universities and schools. He said, Luther feared, I am much afraid that the universities will prove to be the great gates of hell unless they diligently labor to explain the Holy Scriptures and to engrave or engineer upon them the hearts of the youth. I advise no one to place his child where the Scriptures do not reign paramount. Excuse me. Every institution where men are not increasingly occupied with the Word of God must become corrupt. What's happened to our government? Take prayer out of schools, you know, our schools. What happened to our churches? They're so watered down. Anybody can go there today and feel good and hear a little bit of the Word of God. But is that for real? You know, can you really take that pastor and sit down with him and say, hey, I want to know what you believe in, you know? I know we're not going to agree on everything, the little it's, ands, and buts, but, you know, what about your doctrine? What about it? You know? So there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing to be ashamed about that of. And then you see here in verse 20, but you, beloved, building yourselves up in the most holy faith. And so we need to build each other up. We need to read the Word of God. Because the person can come to church and they can only get so much, but you got to go home. You need to rightly divide the word of truth. Be careful what you listen to on the radio. Be careful of what the word of God tells you. As one person put it this way, study the word of God with your mind made up. You can go read the word of God that way, or study it to let the word of God to make up your mind. So that the Holy Spirit work in you. Let him change you, okay? Feel like you've come to a rut in your life? Get out of it. Ask the Holy Spirit to get you out and get you into God's Word to help you. It says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God. So, you know, with the Holy Spirit, when the idea here is what most expositors believe in is when your face is on the floor and you've done everything you can to pray. You've done everything to read God's Word. You've done everything to evangelize. You've done everything to encourage people. You've done everything to love your husband or love your friends, love your family, whoever it is. And it's just not working. And this is the idea that God moans and groans. He makes intercession with God. You know, that's my interpretation. Anyway, the Holy Spirit, God makes that leeway, that interpretation with Him. Sometimes we don't have words to say. We're just totally out of it. And then to keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ and eternal life. Remember, Satan wants to keep you out of the love of God. God wants you to keep Him in His love. Remember, love Him, trust Him, abide in Him, and then wait upon the mercy of the Lord. There was a elderly lady who came, and she knew she was approaching death. Her minister said, "I have noticed your calmness in many things." She says, "When I was just a girl, an old preacher came to me each night, and while he slept, he said, this is what I've had to help me through. He says, I have three pillows at home on my bed. He goes, one is mercy, one is God's power, and one's God's wisdom." So you might have a bed at home. Grab a pillow, write mercy, power, and wisdom. And every time you get in the bed, think about those things. And God, just keep me together. Give me a blessing, a peace there. So we are looking forward to what the Lord does. And that is also another way to confront apostasy. And so in verse 22, "And some of you have compassion, making distinction." Now there's three areas here, and I only have a little bit of time left. In verses 22 and 23, this is how you can evangelize. There's three areas here you can evangelize to help fight off apostasy. Verse 22, "And on some have compassion, making a distinction." Have mercy on those who doubt. Have mercy, number one, have mercy on those who doubt. Because there are those who are just like right on the edge of going back to church, right on the edge of their faith. They're not too sure. They're a little confused about what's going on today in society. Number two, by others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire. So there are others who we need to snatch them out. They're so close to death, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus. Some people are so close to giving up on themselves, and they're ready to throw everything in. They're saying, forget this life. But yet they're so close, and you know they're going to go to hell. You know that, unless they change their lives. And then thirdly, we see here in verse 23, it says, "Others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh." Thirdly, we need to show others to show mercy and fear. Mercy and fear. And it has the idea that people are soiled by the flesh. So we need to, one, have mercy on those who doubt. Two, save others by snatching them out of the fire. And three, to others, show mercy and fear. You know, God is merciful. Do you fear the Lord today? There's three areas in evangelism. Then concluding this, we have Jude's doxology. And I love this because it says, "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling or falling," means to apostatize, "and to present you faultless before his presence." Isn't that wonderful? That, hey, look, you are a sinner today. We are a sinner. We're not retired sinners, as one person told me. Oh, I'm a retired sinner. You're not a retired sinner. You will continue to sin because the Bible calls you a sinner. But one day we will be faultless standing before Him in glory. And then before His presence of glory with exceeding joy. I think we got joy now. Oh, there'll be unspeakable joy. Joy full of glory, like the scripture says. And this life, we'll think nothing of it. This life will be gone. It's just like a hiccup, you know, bump in a road. It's like, wow, that was quick. I'm home. I'm home. Woo! Yeah. So the God of our Savior, who is wise, doxology says, "Be glory and majesty and dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen." And I hope we all can say amen to that. Amen. So, look at his glory, his divine attributes, his majesty. He is the King of Kings, his dominion. He's ruler over all. His power, he has authority to do his will. And then his eternity, his past, present, and future. Trust him today. And that the God of the universe, who sent his only son, Jesus Christ. And, you know, we will be one day with him. Trust him in spite of what we're going through, knowing that one day all these things will what? Come to pass. They will come to pass. Stay faithful, stay true, stay strong in the Lord, right? Stay strong, you know, as the preacher said. And mean it, and build up your faith every time those trials come. Stay strong. He's with you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that regardless of what happens with false gospels, false preachers, false teachers, false people who try to lead us astray, Lord, we thank you that you hold us up by your power, Lord, that you keep us from falling away. You keep us from apostatizing. And we thank you for that, that we have security in our salvation, Lord, that we're sealed with the Holy Spirit, Lord, that no one can snatch you out of your hand. Lord, we have the assurance of our salvation. We just pray for those who are troubled, those, Lord, who we evangelize along life's narrow way, Lord, that they would come to know you as their Savior, or they would have that assurance of salvation. We just pray for the churches that have watered down their doctrine, watered down the Word of God. Lord, there is no power in that. And Lord, it's through the power of salvation that we're saved, Lord. It's through your power that we have who we have. And Lord, we pray we'll continue to deal with our sufferings and our mistakes and our errors. And Lord, we thank you for your mercy. And pray too, last but not least, an invitation. If you don't know Jesus, come to him today. Remember, you're saved by faith through grace, not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. Believe it in it today. And I just pray for those who are listening online, whoever down the road may listen to this sermon on the internet, Lord, that God, that you'll save them, that you'll pull them from the fire, Lord. Your Spirit, God, will come knocking at their door, and they'll realize they need you, Jesus, because you're the way, the truth, and the life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.